We're back again with another episode of Beyond the Dress Size podcast, and you are listening to Dr. Ezine Meribe. This is a podcast that continues to disrupt the health and fitness narrative for women of all shapes and sizes, while I empower you with the tools you need to care for and nurture your body from a place of love and acceptance. Now, here's the thing. We understand that health is not about just what you eat, what you drink, or how many miles you're able to run. There's so much more to health. There's a social component, there's an emotional component, there's the physical component, there's a spiritual component, you know. And so we continue to explore all facets of health on this episode. On today's episode, we're still continuing with our purpose-driven self-care series, and our amazing guest today is Patrice Washington, who says fitness starts with being healthy. You can't run a mile if your heart is failing. At some point in her life, Patrice was on that go, you know, entrepreneur life that is being modeled to us on social media these days. But a hospital admission in the midst of a busy book launch gave her time to rethink her approach to caring for her body, which is her vessel. You know, on this series, I want you to understand that it's time to go beyond the weight loss messages that we are being bombarded with in this first quarter. But instead, let's start paying more attention to our health. In 2019, let's leave those things behind, those things that did not help us, those things that continued to weigh us down instead. All right? Last week, I shared with you my 7 favorite workout videos. If you haven't downloaded them, the link to download it is in the show notes at bit.ly/joyfulmovement. So, if you are new to the show, I want you to remember that what we do here is a mindset shift. And by the time you're done listening, I'm sure I would have created a revolution in your life. All right. So I'm going to be reading one of our favorite reviews of the week. This is from Thelma Pierce, all the way from Oman. And she said, "This is absolutely amazing. It does not tell you how to lose weight, but encourages you through your healthy eating journey, builds your confidence, and encourages you towards self-love. A must listen for everyone." So why have you been holding back on your own review? I want you to go on iTunes or Stitcher and send us your own review, because the more reviews we have, the more this message of Beyond the Dress Size is reaching out to more women out there. And if you're not subscribed to the podcast, do so so that you're the very first person to know when a new episode drops, as well as follow us on Instagram at Beyond the Dress Size. All right. If you missed our last episode where I did my accountability diaries for the month, I want you to go back and listen to it so that you can see that I am very intentional about how I'm using the tools that we share on the Purpose Driven Self-Care series to empower myself to be able to function at my highest capacity and serve you better. So go ahead and make sure you listen to it after you have listened to this one. Okay. Now get ready to take notes, grab your coffee, grab your notepad and pen. Patrice Washington is an award-winning author, transformational speaker, hope-restoring coach, and media personality. Patrice is committed to redefining the term wealth using its original meaning, well-being. She encourages women to have wealth in all aspects of their life by pursuing their purpose, being fulfilled, and earning more without ever chasing money. Through her teachings, Patrice empowers women to look at life through the lens of abundance and opportunity, instead of lack and scarcity. She is the founder of Redefining Wealth and the Earn More Money movement for women. You can connect with her on Instagram as SeekWisdomPCW or her website, patricewashington.com. Hi, Patrice. Thank you for coming to the show. You know, I'm so excited. I don't need to tell you.
Well, I am excited and grateful to be here. So thank you for the invite.
Thank you. I'm grateful that you honored the invitation. So you are the queen of redefining wealth. In times when people are looking to amass more wealth, you are telling us to redefine wealth. But you know that what interested me the most was the fact that you had a fit pillar in redefining wealth. What does my body have to do with my wealth? I'm trying to lose weight, for crying out loud.
You know, I was really intentional about making Fit Pillar the first one, because I know from my own experience and, you know, from many people that I've helped in the past, that we would be praying for things, Zinni, and saying, "God, I want you to enlarge my territory and I want more." For me, it was like, "I want to go international with my book tour and I want this and I want that." And I felt the Holy Spirit say one day, but you're really huffing and puffing pretty hard on this little circuit that you got right now. Like, are you sure that you are ready for what you're praying for? And that was like a, whew, wait a minute. What if the reason that some doors haven't been opened is because I don't even have the capacity to walk into them? And that's why I made the fit pillar the first pillar of redefining wealth. And people always ask me, like, aren't you supposed to be a personal finance expert? Like, what are you doing talking about all these different things? But I started to feel like I was doing the world, the, you know, my community a disservice by not tapping into all the other things that actually eventually impact their wealth in one way or another. And so with the fit pillar, being physically fit is just about, you know, it's not about being skinny. It's not about being any dress size. And it's not about a number on a scale, because I looked relatively thin most of my life, but I have been extremely unhealthy, not sleeping, not eating, not drinking enough water. You know, I had low iron, low blood count, and was basically running on fumes until I ended up in the emergency room. And when that doctor came in and said, if you were older, you would be getting a blood transfusion today. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And when I finally did make it to a hematologist about 2 or 3 days later, and he explained to me about the reserve tank, right? Like, your iron is supposed to be this reserve tank, and it works in conjunction with your blood. And that's why you haven't been breathing well. And that's why you can't run upstairs. And I even joined this boot camp in the middle of the day. And there were like several women in the boot camp, but I was honestly probably the youngest one. And I'm talking 60, 70 year old women were beating me in every level. And I kept saying, what's wrong? Like, I need to work out more. I need to work out more. And the truth was, I needed to take care of my body. I needed to listen to my body and go to the doctor and realize that I was severely anemic and deficient of iron. And so I made the fit pillar the first pillar intentionally, because we live in a time right now where so many people are like, I want to start a podcast. I want to do books. I want to, you know, in addition to my 9-to-5, I might want to go and do all these other things. But it's like, you got to take care of yourself in the process, because if God gives you a vision to do those things, you have a responsibility to protect the vessel needed to execute the vision. We only get one body. And so what good is a great, a healthy bank account, but an unhealthy body? It means nothing. Like, I'm definitely not working to spend all my money on prescriptions that I can't pronounce one day. Like, that's not the goal.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking, it just brought my attention to the fact that it is actually possible that someone looks relatively healthy, but, you know, we feel like we're taking care of ourselves. And most people go to the gym or try to exercise, and they say stuff like, I get tired easily. I hate exercising. That hatred may not necessarily be the fact that you actually hate exercising. Yes, you get tired easily. Yes, it is true that at first you're tired easily, and then when you build up, you gain your strength. But some people may actually be going over and over again, and the strength is not improving, or you always feel more than wasted when you are done. It may be time to go for a health check. It may be time to knock on the doctor's door and say, hello, I don't think I feel okay, or I don't feel okay. And that's something I see us ignore a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I...
Yes.
Yeah, and especially as women. You know, I know in my house, I have to force my husband to go to the doctor, right? Because he will know something is wrong and he'll ignore it, but for different reasons. I think that as a mom and as a wife, I get so consumed with making sure that it's okay, that a lot of times I forget about myself, or I put myself on the back burner. And that was another thing, you know, the different symptoms that I had during that time, and there were like waves of different things that I've experienced with my health over the last, I would say, 7 years or so. But if my daughter would have come to me and said that she was having those types of symptoms, I wouldn't say, you know, suck it up. You know, I wouldn't say like, okay, well, you got stuff to do, keep going. The nurturing would come out and I would say, okay, are you sure? Like, okay, what does it feel like? Explain it to me. I would go to Dr. Google probably first. And then I would say, we need to go to the doctor because I've narrowed it down and you're probably going to die in 2 hours. You know, the stuff on the internet. You know, but I would immediately schedule an appointment with the pediatrician for her. So why don't I have the same value and worth for my own body and health? Like, how do I turn around and tell myself, suck it up, knock it off, like, you were born for greatness? Like, we get confused, like, with some of these things that are, that sound noble, right? Like, you got to push through. You got to, like, make it happen. It's hustle and grind time. And, yes, team, no sleep. Like, we make this sound sexy and attractive and noble. And it's so detrimental, you know, in the bigger scheme of things. It's just, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And inevitably, when you fall out, and you're unable to work and you're unable to go, 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 then what? Then you're going to wish, I should have done something sooner. I should have taken the time to go to the doctor. All that, I don't have time. Okay. When something is more severe later on down the line and you don't do anything but stay at the doctor, you're going to wish you had taken the time, you know? That's what I had to tell myself and get serious about my health. Really around 34 is when it really kicked in for me.
And you know, the thing is that at that point, we're willing to pay anything, give up all the time just to get well. But when we see those signs and symptoms, we're like, I'm still moving. I'll put this on the back burner. So I think at this point, it's important to say, if you can schedule other people's activities, if you can schedule all the things that you think are priorities, you should schedule yourself too. Because all those priorities will still be there. And when you are no longer able to fulfill those priorities, what happens? Someone else may have to do it for you, or they never get done. So while we're prioritizing priorities, you are the number one priority. And then if you are able to treat, that's why I said you have to develop a relationship with your body like your child, like your body is your child. Because if you're able to give so much love, compassion, and kindness to your child, or if we're able to do that for our children, we should be able to do that for ourselves as well.
You know what, Zinni? The other thing about all of that is that it's so interesting how we put more value, though, in other people. Like, where does that even come from?
Guilt.
Where we will, you know, even with our jobs, right? Yeah. Or our careers. So people will say to me, but I have to go to work. I have to go to work. I got bills to pay. I have children to feed. And, you know, and I totally understand that. And I get that. But at the same time, if something happens to you, your job will replace you in 2.2 seconds. Your children cannot replace you. Your husband can attempt, you know, or your significant other can attempt to replace you. Let's hope that's not easy. But like, if something happens to you, then what? You know, I had to ask myself, and I battle with my mom all the time on this, because she is the queen at her job of like, no, they need me. I'm like, they'll replace you in a heartbeat. Like, they need to get to a bottom line. And at the
end
of the day,
it's
about the bottom line. The people that you work with most intimately on a daily basis, sure, they'll miss you. They'll be like, wow, that Zinni was a great woman, but no one's going to miss you like your family. And so I also feel that I have a responsibility to myself. I feel like I have a responsibility to the higher power that gave me this body and said, hey, you take care of it. You know, this is the one I'm giving you. This is the shape I'm giving you. Like, you take care of this, be a good steward. But also to my loved ones, like my closest loved ones, like, to tell my husband that I didn't take care of myself because I was too busy podcasting or speaking or coaching. And now he has to battle, you know, with losing his wife early or having to take care of me at an earlier age than we anticipate. Like, I think about that too. Like, it's not fair. It's not, if you want to have loved ones around you, it's not even fair to them that you not take care of yourself. So if you're not going to do it for you, then what about for them?
Because in the long run, if anything happens and it's debilitating, it is their responsibility to look out for you. And it doesn't matter how much money you have in your account, because health is not cheap.
Oof. Say that. Especially here.
So I was going to ask, but a lot of times, I know as somebody's listening, person's like, but I know this person, they're wealthy. I know that person, they're wealthy, but they don't really take care of themselves and they're making a lot of money. Does it mean that money in my bank account is not necessarily wealth if I don't have a fit pillar in my life?
Right. Like, I don't equate wealth to just money and material possessions, as you know, from my podcast. I believe that wealth is about, well, not only I believe, when you research, when you use Google and go a little deeper than the first definition they give you, you'll see that the original definition of wealth was well-being. And so because I live my life based on that definition, I'm not going to, like, I work hard, right? Like, I do a lot of different things in my business and I enjoy what I do. And I pray every day that I can continue to hit my goals and reach certain marks with grace and ease. But I will not run myself into the ground chasing money. And I think that's where, you know, there has to be some clarity. Yes, there are very, you know, rich people and maybe financially independent people who run their bodies into the ground. And they may have a different definition of wealth, which is okay. But I think the important thing is we all get to choose the definition we want. And for me, it's definitely a more holistic. I define it to be more holistic. So I have no desire to, you know, have money and my relationships be in shambles. You know, I don't want to have money and then my spirituality and my faith life is raggedy. You know, like those things don't matter to me. Like the money doesn't matter to me singularly. You know, money is important. I enjoy having money, you know, and I make sure that I manage the money that I have wisely. I make sure I manage it wisely, but it's a holistic thing. So that's not my sole thing. So running myself into the ground behind money to leave to who for what? Like, I want to also enjoy the fruits of my labor with people I love in a body that's as healthy and strong as I can, you know, assist it in being in a space that feels good and comfortable and peaceful for me. I want to be able to give to whoever I want to give to without, you know, feeling any guilt or any, you know, it feeling like a stretch or something. Like, I want all of those things. I want to work in my purpose. I wouldn't take a job that didn't make me happy just to get the money. And I've turned down opportunities because they weren't in alignment with me. And that sounds crazy. And people have been like, what was wrong with you? Like, how could you, you know, do that? But in the end, it has worked out. So there are a lot of things that I just would not compromise for money. And my health is one of them. Like, there has to be a balance. Now, you know, I do speaking tours and I do, you know, do a lot of work, but I make sure that I'm also doing things in the process, like working out, like choosing the right food for my body, like sleeping. Like, I think that sleep is important, you know, like making sure I stay hydrated, like making sure, you know, that I'm working out consistently. I work out 5 days a week. Like, I do those things because I know that if I'm called to do something great, I got to keep myself in great shape. Like, that just is what it is. Like, I don't want to do it and come before anyone, you know, tired and worn out and looking sluggish. Like, I want to show up as my best self because that's also how I continue to get opportunities. It's because of the energy that I bring. And the only way that I can do that is if I take care of myself first.
And, you know, like we define on Beyond the Dress Size, you said you must define what beauty means to you. And you're also saying that you must define what wealth means to you. Mm-hmm. So for each and every one of us, we owe it to ourselves to sit back and write and paint that picture. What does wealth feel like for me? So when I work with clients, I like to use the wheel of life that includes every other area of your life because I believe that everything is interconnected. So for wealth, you would look at your wheel of life and go like, so do I want to be wealthy and have zero on my relationships? Do I want to be wealthy and have zero on my, well, depending on what wealthy means to you. Do I want to be wealthy and have zero on community service, zero on this, zero on that? So you must, I think that's the biggest takeaway for me here. You must define what wealth means to you. And then I wanted to ask, do you make appointment with yourself? Like scheduling, oh, this is my time for my fit pillar. Do you do that?
Oh, yes. My calendar says fit in capital letters, colon, and then whatever the workout is. So before, 3 days a week, I would go to the gym. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it would say fit, and it would say gym workout and the address for my gym in the calendar, 6 a.m., 6:50 a.m. And then 2 days a week, it would say fit, colon, and then outdoor running. So I was running twice a week. But now my husband and I have joined like this boot camp, this HIIT boot camp with strength training and cardio involved. And we just love the community and the group dynamics and the variation in the workouts. And so you can't get bored because you have no idea what the heck is going to happen when you walk in. And we really enjoy that. We just joined a couple weeks ago. And the first thing that I did was change my calendar to reflect that class time and the address and all that stuff. And so I definitely schedule the time. It's not about finding it, because time is not hiding. You know, I always tell people, time is not hiding under the chair, the bed. It's not, you know, peeking at you from behind the door. Like, you make time. You don't find it. And, you know, redefining wealth with the pillars, my calendar is set up by the pillars, not in the order that the pillars appear, but on my calendar, you'll see fit in what that is. You'll see faith in what that is. You'll see space if I need to clean up. You'll see work and then whatever work task I have. And then I have a personal tab. Like, my calendar is set up that way because, like, what you don't define will continue to hide from you. Like, if you don't define it and calendar it and schedule it, there'll always be an excuse. And even when something comes up, you know what I do, Zenny? If something comes up and I can't work out at my normal time, I just drag that thing down the calendar and find another open time. But it will get done that same day. Mm. It will get done. Or if it can't, like if it's like a travel schedule thing, then I just have to have an additional workout on the weekend. If I'm traveling, I'll just try a workout where I am. Like, I'll either use the gym where I am, or I'll try like a workout with a friend that's in, you know, that lives there or something like that. But I, you know, make it a point that no less than four. I give myself grace. So there are times, you know, if I just don't feel good, I don't feel good. That's the other thing. Listening to my body means I just don't feel good and my body is like, hey, we need to rest, not run. You're not about to run me into the ground, you know? I'm like, okay, we need to rest. And every once in a while, sometimes that feeling, it's not often, but when it comes, then the fit pillar turns into taking a nap. My body, like it's still about honoring what my body is craving. Like, what is my body asking for? And I'm also learning to do the same thing with food, you know, is to listen to my body and stop ignoring the signs when your body is like, we don't like that food, but you're like, but I like. Your body said it doesn't like tomatoes, so you know, or whatever. I used to be that way where I would act oblivious and just ignorant, just plain ignorance. I'm like, I don't know why I feel like this, and nothing, it would never occur to me, Zenny, to just like keep a food diary and look at what the heck you're eating. I would be like, I don't know.
And how your body's
and responding. How my body's responding, and even to things that I thought were healthy. I'm like, oh, this is healthy. It's like, this is a healthy food, but not every healthy food, quote unquote, is healthy for you. And I had to stop, you know, walking around with blinders on and listen to my body. And oh my gosh, the response my body has given me has been amazing. Like, less bloating, less need for Spanx. It's been incredible.
Yeah, I think the thing about food is people don't realize that health is something you also define for yourself, because our bodies respond and react to food differently. Especially, I heard somebody say something about rocks, that the rocks where you have your genetic makeup from. So, for example, if you're originally from South Africa and somewhere down the line you find yourself in Italy,
your body would always respond better to foods from South Africa. I've heard someone say that before. And so when we eat some foods, we, even as much as it is healthy food, like you said, our bodies just leave us feeling down emotionally. Sometimes we have mood swings after eating and you don't realize this is what is happening. And then the bloat, that one is always the number one sign. You know, you are just feeling okay and all of a sudden you don't feel okay. Sometimes it could not even be bloat. It may not even be bloat. And then I learned something now that you don't have to stick to one routine, you know, because at some point you are going to the gym and running and then now there's a variety. This bootcamp may change. This bootcamp may not last for till the end of the year and you find something new. I think that keeps the spice in your fit pillar. You know, you have to try new things all the time. Don't just stick to one thing and after some time you get bored. And then again, how do you stay accountable? Because somebody may be listening to you now and go schedule her fit pillar, but accountability is a big issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, the fit pillar is just a non-negotiable. Like, I love having the accountability of my husband, but I had to make a decision for myself that with or without him, this is what I'm going to do for me. And I'll tell you, when I started to be more disciplined in my workout, I was so proud of myself. I still am proud of myself. Like, no one can be more proud of my efforts than I am, because this is the opportunity for me to say, I'm taking a stand for me. I'm taking a stand for my life. Like, if I'm going to complain about my back fat, then let me make the attempt to remedy that, right? Like, instead of complaining about different things that I was not as pleased with, where I'm like, man, where, you know, after you hit a certain age, and you're like, well, where did this come from? I've been doing this, you know, my whole life. What is this under my bra strap? This looks crazy. Like, so instead of, you know, painting my husband with talking about it every other week, you know, do something about it. Do something about it. And it's not that it's melted off and disappeared, you know, because it's still like one of my little areas that I struggle with. But I'm always so proud of myself. Like, girl, you did that. When I'm on my run, I'm like, girl, you are amazing. You are powerful. You better keep pushing. I see you. I'm literally talking to myself half the run while listening to a podcast or gospel music or something. I'm also talking to myself like, you got this. And so it trains me for the rest of my day
to do hard things.
Yeah. It trains me to keep, you know, pumping myself up, to keep talking to myself and not letting those voices of doubt that get in your head, the voice that says, turn around, girl, you try, you out here. Like, at least you came, at least you got up, at least you got dressed. No, it's that voice that's like, man, look at you, look at you. Sometimes I walk by myself in the mirror now. I'm like, girl, look at you, look at you. And not because I think I'm so cute. I am cute. But not because I think I'm so cute. I'm pumped up because I've learned to put myself first. I spent so many years making everything else and anybody else the priority, that now when I can look at my calendar and between my faith pillar and fit pillar, that's how I get my day started. Like, man, when you've made the first, you know, I know some people do it at night or you work out at different times, but for me personally, I've found that when I make the first couple hours about honoring God and honoring the body that God gave me, I feel invincible. When one of those things are out of whack for the day, it shows up throughout my day. It really does. And so with or without accountability of you know, someone else, then I'm just determined to choose what my day feels like, what it looks like, as much as I can control. I'm determined to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing that you talked about seeing yourself in front of the mirror and, you know, saying nice things to yourself, because almost every guest here on the podcast says that. I guess they're amazing. Okay. So you said something. You know how I think the thing about complaining about our bodies is it helps you not to do anything. Because every time you complain, you have people who will say nice things to you and try to console you. So rather than take action and do the things that you know you should do, like sit up for yourself, hold yourself accountable, say nice things to yourself, you keep throwing those pity parties so you don't get anybody... maybe people telling you, oh, you could do something about this, or you even telling yourself you could do something about your body. So now that we're talking about bodies, I had this question for you that the way we see our bodies, so it has a lot to do with, number one, the way we see our body, and number two, the fact that you're not doing anything about it, and then you keep having these negative conversations with yourself, and even telling, I think that's fat shaming talk or body negative talk. So you generate a lot of body negative talk on your own without even other people saying nice things, saying anything to you. Now, I ask that with your clients or the woman that you have come across, have you ever noticed that the way we feel about our bodies hugely impacts or negatively impacts our ability to show up in our true selves and actually fulfill our body meditation?
Oh, yeah. Another reason that I started with the fit pillar is because it really connects to our confidence
on so many levels.
So many levels. And so the better you feel about yourself, and again, this is not about a dress size. It's not about a number on the scale. It's just the better you feel about yourself, which is why I say I pump myself up. Because it's not about what anybody else thinks about what I look like. The better I feel about myself, the more when I'm speaking, I can strut across that stage. The more when I, you know, I'm called to do certain things, I can raise my hand and say, oh, I want to try out for that. I'll go for that. I'll be on that show or that whatever. When there was a time when I wasn't taking such good care of myself, I remember getting a call for a television opportunity. And the first thing that I thought was like, and the camera adds 15 pounds? Oh no. And as much as I was qualified, you know, I had the credentials to do it. I had the personality to do it. I had the background to do it. But I was, you know, I applied for it, but then I was secretly kind of like, oh, I hope it's like 2 months before they really want to tape. You know, I was like, so, you know, you get what you want, not what you get, which I'm sorry, you don't get what you want. You get what you believe. And so even though I applied and went through the process secretly, subconsciously, I didn't want it to go through. I didn't know it at the time, but when I look back on it, it was almost a sigh of relief when it didn't happen, because I was like, the other girl they casted for this is super skinny and I don't want to be next to her. And I had this whole story going on. And now I'm actually the heaviest I've ever been in my life, Zinni, including when I was pregnant. I today am the heaviest. If we go by numbers or dress sizes, I'm the heaviest I've ever been. I'm also the healthiest. I'm probably the most confident. I'm the most fit that I've ever been in my life, right? And now if something comes up, I'm replying and responding and applying with a quickness.
I'm sure you are.
Because I'm ready to show up. I'm ready to show up. So when you don't feel good about the body that you're in, you create, you kind of put out there to the universe on the low. You may not say it out loud or say it to your spouse or anyone else, but you put it out there like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And then when people overlook you for things, or when you don't get the raise, when you don't get the promotion, when you don't get the gig, you internalize that and say, they didn't want me because they wanted someone fitter. They wanted someone skinnier. They wanted someone prettier. But, you know, your mind is always going to find a way to prove itself right. You know? So if this is your belief system, and if this is what keeps, you know, coming up for you, then you're going to be putting things out there. It may be in the thoroughness of your application. It may be in the confidence you have in the interview or, you know, the sales call. It's going to come up in different ways that eventually are going to impact your success or your ability to produce well every time.
Yeah, I'm going to take that to the bank. You said, I am the heaviest I have ever been, but I am the most confident. Most confident I've ever been, the fittest I've ever been. And maybe I'll add the wealthiest I've ever been. Because the thing is, we don't even know we reflect that energy of, I'm not good enough. And so even in our conversations, even in the way we show up, even in, you know, the things that we do, and most times we're saying that people are not seeing us as good, but we haven't seen ourselves as good. Let me just put this on a side. Mm-hmm. I was reading the Genesis chapter 1 this morning, and everything God created, he said it was good. Everything God created, he said it was good. And then I had to ask myself, did he say it was good because it was good, or because he created it, or because goodness flows out of him? He had to speak into it and say it was good. And we started seeing it as good as well. So it's always an energy you give, and it comes back to you. And then there was something you said I caught. Yes, when you are talking about how you have to show up at events, but you're not your fittest self. And so because you're not taking better care of yourself, because you're not making time, you know, for your faith pillar, for your fit pillar, you are showing up with so much negative energy and repelling the people who show up for you. And then at the end of the day, you don't get called back to it, because people may not necessarily get called back to the same event, but because of the way you showed up at a particular event, you're called back, you're called to other events. But the energy that you brought to this space was so negative, people can't even think of calling you again. And that's not because it had anything to do with your qualification or you not being good enough. It was just the fact that you're not making time to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And we teach people how to treat us. We really do. So however we appear to be treating ourselves, other people will slide right in and do the same.
Exactly.
So when you show up in that powerful space, looking like a woman who I take care of myself, whatever that looks like, that doesn't mean that you have to wear a bunch of makeup. It doesn't mean that you need eyebrows and lashes. That's my preference. But, it, you know, like, it doesn't mean that you need any of those things. That's not what it's about. Because I've also been barefaced with no makeup, and you can show up in a space, not for work, but I could show up in a space and have the same level of impact on the people that are around. Because, you know, I'm also not defined by the clothes or the hair or the makeup or any of those things. It's just a quiet confidence that comes with knowing I take care of me. I take care of me, and therefore, anyone who I'm around, you should take care of me. You should not think that you can treat me any kind of way. You should not feel like you can discard me or, you know, take me or leave me. You have to respect me. And that is what it is. And so when I wasn't taking care of myself, I was begging for people to be late to things, you know? It's like I was like a poster boy for, like, I mean, you know, come if you want to, you know? But once I started taking much better care of myself, people know that you're serious. You came to win. You came to be great. You came to be great. And when you, and that's the other thing, you know what it does, Vinny? It forces other people into their greatness.
I can testify.
It forces other people into their greatness. Now, in preparation for you, they are making sure that their I's are dotted and their T's are crossed, and that they are showing up in the best way, because they believe that you take good care of yourself and you show up in excellence. So they have to, even if that's not their norm, they're going to go away, rise to the level of expectation that you've set, and you have to.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been at an event where all of you were speakers, but everybody did not get the same treatment, even from the organizers.
Yes.
And that's because of the way you are perceived.
That happens all the time, Vinny. It happens all the time. Sometimes to the point where I have to, where for me personally, I have to be like, hey, like I kind of almost shy away. I'm like, hey, go see about her. She looks like she needs some assistance. So I have like, two handlers or something. I'm like, no, she's actually speaking before me. I think you guys should go support her. Like, I've literally had to do that. And I know for a fact, I think I've said this before on my podcast, I know for a fact that I have been paid more to do less in the same spaces with other people. And I know it's because they just think I need more or I want more. Like, I'm not even that I had to negotiate more, that I was offered more from the jump. And I've been in those little green rooms or behind stage, or, you know, when you get into conversations with other people and they're talking about, you know, their experience coming to the event. And, you know, I stay quiet because in my head I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, because that wasn't my experience. But my husband always says, you show up. You got to show up. Like, you ready to play the game. And if you show up looking like amateur time, that's how they're going to treat you. This is what it is.
And you know the truth about what you said, if you show up like an amateur, when we show up, still talking about our bodies, and you keep, you know, having that conversation in your head, I don't deserve to be here. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve to be here. I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. You also limit your ability to show up fully and bless people fully. Like, let me say, bless people powerfully. Now, the person who is underqualified but says, I deserve to be here, they display so much confidence. They may not say so much, but they display so much confidence and release themselves. But you are so inhibited, you can't even release yourself. And so people can't even receive from you.
No, because it shows up in your body language, right? Like, even if you're not saying, I don't deserve to be here, even if you don't, you know, articulate that, we can tell when you cover, you know, when you hold your hands across your body. And it's not cold.
Yeah. And you still, and you keep pulling your dress.
Yeah, you keep pulling your dress. You keep tugging at things. You're like just covering up or slouching just a little bit or retreating to kind of be in the corner or not, you know, out of sight or not to be seen too much, you know. You can see, other people can see all of that, and it goes back to the confidence. Like for myself, as I started to put on weight, and this is in 2016, I was about 20 pounds lighter than I am now. But I also had started working out, and I was confused by the scale because I was like, why am I gaining weight? But I became more muscular, and I wasn't really understanding. Like I could see the definition, but I couldn't understand why I was not losing weight. Mm. And I had to embrace. You know, I remember seeing this guy. I was at an event, and this guy who he said he saw me several times on TV, and he was a dressmaker. And he's like, I always love you when I see you on TV. He's like, you always are just so amazing. He's like, I want to make you something. And he's like, what are you, an eight? Size eight? And I was like, excuse me. No, you know, because I hadn't accepted yet. You know, I was like, I have, you know. You know, but the truth is I was squeezing my behind in things that did not look good on me anymore. And I didn't even realize it. You know, some of my favorite stuff, I didn't even really realize it because I have been that size for so long. Even when I was unhealthy, I have been that size. And so I had to embrace that, again, the dress size didn't matter. What mattered is going up in dress size, but feeling, you know, polished. And feeling like I looked good and my curves were in the right place and I looked smooth and that was okay. Even though the dress size was two sizes bigger, I still looked better than when I was smaller and having to, or in a smaller dress and having to tug and pull and adjust. And you know how it is, ladies, when you go under the bottom of that dress to try to pull that spank down? You know what I'm talking about. We've all had those moments, right? And I was like, I could keep tugging and pulling and adjusting, or I can accept and embrace this new body. Mm. And that's the other reason. And my daughter actually said something to me. I said something about, I don't remember what I was referring to exactly, but my daughter was like, why do you want to look like a little girl?
Oh, like, yeah, I remember. I said, you are something, mom. You can't look like a little girl.
Yeah, she's like, but you look like a great mom.
Yes, you look like a great mom, yeah.
You look like a little girl. And I was like, ooh. Like, now she's dropping wisdom. I'm like, you're absolutely right. I look like a great mom. I'm a grown woman. And there, I don't really have the desire to look the way I did at 21. Like, I'm a grown woman. And let me embrace this body and take the best care of this body that I possibly can and just rock it. And once I started, it was my daughter who dropped that wisdom on me. She was probably 9 at the time. And once she dropped that on me, I was like, you know what? I also don't want her to have an image in front of her all the time of a mom who's complaining about what she looks like, because what am I teaching her? She has my body shape. So in 20 years, this is probably going to get the body she gets. You know, this is probably going to be it, something similar. And if I'm portraying this beautiful, strong, tall, powerful woman who is like owning that this is her body and taking the best care of it, then now I'm setting the example that she can do the same. And again, we talked about kids earlier in the interview. I feel a heavy responsibility to make sure that she's proud of who she is, her body, and how she defines beauty for herself. And she, her first example is me, because I'm in front of her every day. So I have to embrace my body to make sure that I don't care if it's right now or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, she can embrace hers and stand in that power as well.
And, you know, she's already creating her body story. What moms don't understand is when you keep feeling less, when you keep pulling yourself down, your kids get that message that they're also not good enough. Because sometimes when we fuss over ourselves, we also do that to our children. Like they don't have the eyes that we want. They don't have the hair texture that we want. They don't have the type of hair that they don't have the kind of body. So there are clothes I could buy for my daughter now because she's slim. They don't fit her. And I know that these clothes don't fit her, but they don't make her any less of a person or any less of a woman because they don't fit her body. She just needs to wear clothes that fit her body type. That's it.
Right.
You know, right. Yes.
That's it.
And then I remember something. I think it was your interview with Egypt Sherrod, where she said, was it her? That if there are things that you don't like, discard them completely. You know, what's the point of what? It's the same thing with the clothes that no longer fit us. Why do you keep wearing them?
Right.
They don't make you feel enough. Because as long as you keep wearing them, you would always feel like there's something you need to measure up to, something you need to attain, that you're not there yet. And so even when you wear those clothes to shop, it doesn't matter if they are trendy. It doesn't matter if they are the best thing after sliced bread, like we say in Nigeria. It doesn't matter if they're very expensive. You will still feel less wearing those clothes.
Right. Right. It doesn't serve you.
It doesn't serve your higher purpose.
It doesn't serve you. Mm-mm. It keeps the cycle going. You know, I always say that you have to also, you know, I like to make a list every once in a while. I do it probably 3 or 4 times a year of what's draining my energy. Like what's draining my energy. And sometimes the things that are draining my energy are the clothes in my closet. Because for one reason or another, anything that makes you go, ugh, that's the energy zap. So if I pull these jeans on and now 3 times in a row, I have tried to shimmy and get on the bed and do the little squat we do when we try to squat down and jump up and pull them up and all this stuff. It's like, girl, these ain't the jeans for you no more. You got to let this go. Like, you got to let it go. And it's like, it was zapping my energy. I could look better in something that fits. And so I'm not saying that if you're just gaining weight to be gaining weight, because obviously, know that that's something that we want to address so that we make sure that we're showing up as our best self, right? As our healthiest self. But when I started to get a bit more muscular and my thighs were a part of that, I couldn't understand, like, what's wrong with my jeans? I got to lose some weight. And it's like, I was already, my body was taking a new shape. And once I finally embraced that, yeah, I start to get rid of those things. You know, I'm also big on decluttering. And it sucks up your energy and it sucks up time to keep trying on and playing with clothes that, you know, good and heck well, you know, I'm not going back to. I'm not even going back there. So why keep anything in my space that's no longer serving me?
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
And then I think that sometimes women have events, especially if we're speakers, we get called to platforms a lot. We feel like we need to lose weight for every event. How do you think that affects the psychology, your psychology, and your ability to impact people who are coming to hear from you?
I have never felt that way, that I need to lose. I'm really just taken aback by the question, because I hear of that with like vacations. You know, people are like, I'm going to the beach, I better get this weight off. But I've never really heard that about you know, platform speakers or anything like that. But no matter what it's for, it denotes, like, I'm not into yo-yo dieting. Like, I don't have a desire to change something for some short-term gain. Like, I'm at a point now where this is just my lifestyle. Like, this just is a part of who I am. And I don't need to lose a quick anything for this momentary. I would rather do the work consistently over time, because this is a marathon. I'm not sprinting towards any destination in particular. My life's journey is a marathon, and I just want to, you know, continue to train for the marathon. You know, you're kind of always in training. And one of the things that I'm learning is to enjoy the journey, not try to speed past the journey to get to some destination. This is the bliss. Like, this is this whole process of waking up every morning at 5:15 or whatever that is for you. Like, the whole process of saying that you are going to commit to something and then doing it day after day after day. And then when there's a day that you fall off, getting back up and doing it again, it's just about proving to yourself, you know, what you're capable of and that you are powerful enough to commit and have the discipline. So, you know, going back and forth, it's like you're playing this game where you're constantly disappointing yourself. And I'm just, I'm like, I got to bet on me first. Like, I just, like, and not play games with myself. You know, like, I don't want to play games with myself. I don't have a, I need to lose 10 pounds by or any of that. I'm really, that's why I love, you know, the concept you have for this podcast and even the title. It's like, it's not about fitting into anything in particular by a certain point. It's just about feeling good about myself every freaking day. Yeah.
So, we could go on and on really, like forever, but I'm going to ask you the last question. What does life beyond the dress size mean to you?
Life beyond the dress size means embracing the skin and the body that I'm in today and knowing that as much as I, you know, work out and focus on my fit pillar and all that, it's not because I'm unhappy with the skin I'm in. It just means that I want to maintain it and prove to myself that I come first now. I come first now. And so it's not a dress size. It's not a number on the scale. It's not society's perception, or it's not about whether you think I look good or don't look good. I know how far I've come. I know how I feel. I know how energized or not energized I am. Like, as long as I am in tune with my body and I'm happy with the effort that I'm making to put myself first, that's the only thing that matters.
Thank you so much, Patrice.
Thank you for having me. This was amazing.
As always. Told you we always serve you the best. I love that Patrice always says, I don't equate wealth to money and material possessions. I believe wealth is well-being. I pray every day that I continue to hit my goals and reach certain mark with grace and ease. But I will not run myself into the ground chasing money. A lot of us now have side hustles, or we have two jobs we're running on the side, or we have two businesses we're passionate about, and that is good. I've seen a lot of multi-passionate entrepreneurs who are in good health, who have their well-being put together, you know. It doesn't mean that you can't have these four things. You can't have these four things that you're passionate about running very, very well. But the point is, while we keep hearing that message of get it more, get more, you know, it just makes you feel like you need to be showing your accomplishment on social media daily. You don't belong, or you're not enough, or you're not worthy or valuable. But the truth is that having an overall healthy state of mind and body is very important. And running yourself into the ground because you want to build a fat bank account to be able to show on social media will get you nowhere. By the time you're done showing all that you're showing, you've lost what the meaning of life is for you. You've lost good relationships. You've lost your health. Those people on social media are going to be nowhere to be found when all the chips are down. So take care of you, your social health, your physical health, your mental health, and your spiritual health first. But know that you have all the abilities and all the permission in the world to pursue four different passionate dreams and see them thrive. Most importantly, there are people who love you. You're going to be doing a disservice to the ones who truly love you and are closest to you when you don't take care of yourself. I'm doing a lot of reveal here because the other episode you're going to be listening to in about 2 weeks talks about how are you aging?
what are you presenting to yourself in the long run? What kind of body are you going to your next 10, 20 years with? So in the next decade, in the next 2 decades, what body are we taking to that place that we're going to? Okay, so I'm so grateful that Patrice was in the guest chair today. You, thank you very much for listening. I know we've had a lot of aha moments and we're so wild, we're so inspired. Inspiration is one thing. Taking action is the very next and most important step. So I want you to take action, take baby steps. I'm never the person who is going to rush you or tell you to be perfect, but I want you to make progress every single day. And most importantly, be committed to you. Remember that you can connect with Patrice on Instagram at seekwisdompcw or her website, patricewashington.com. So until next week, don't forget to subscribe, share, and of course, send us a message or send Patrice a message and tell her, oh, sis, you blessed me on that episode on Beyond the Dress Size. I'm sure she would love to hear from you. Take care. I love you.